What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 357, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives you a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me as my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. What's going on? I'm feeling good. Every now and then, like Wednesdays, I'm like either tired from the end of a work day or just like rushing in here. But I came down early, made sure everything was good to go. Like I had all my tabs
you
ready.
You were down here. Like we have this little like back end. And I'm usually in there at like a half an hour before just getting all my stuff set up. And like I was in there for a couple minutes and Ryan popped in. I was like, man, this guy's here early. He's ready to podcast, ready to go.
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
I don't feel as sick as I did last week.
You were a little under the weather the other day.
But I do feel, I still, like, whatever this is, isn't going away, which that's never a good sign, I would say. But yeah, we're here. We're ready to podcast, talk about tech. Lots of awesome stuff and stuff that I think both Ryan and I are excited about because we've been waiting for these specific things to at least give us some more clarity on kind of where they're going to sit in the product stack and when they're going to be released. So we have all that stuff coming. Guys, if you want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page here that is linked in the description of this video. So you can go ahead and click through as we talk about everything that we're going to be talking about, all our reviews, all the news, all that kind of fun stuff. So we will start things off and I'm going to try to do this without wrecking my whole system setup here is I'll show you a really cool product that I reviewed this week. I'm going to try to do this without breaking anything because it's connected obviously in the, the thing's going to fall off, but here is this awesome keyboard.
I think that looks so cool.
It is
wrist rest.
Yeah. So this is the Rocket Vulcan 2 Max, gaming keyboard. And I, like I said, I really, really like this because with their Vulcan keyboards, and you reviewed one a little while back,
but I think mine was like the AMO.
Yours was a little different. But the cool thing that Rocket does with this keyboard is that they put low profile keycaps on top of full size switches. So it gives us this really, really cool look because most of the keycaps themselves or most of the switches are, you can see them. Like I can, you know, I'm looking at them, you know, you can see them, which is when this keyboard's all lit up. Like, I mean, it just looks just so awesome because you can see most of the switches. That's like, but I have reviewed keyboards that have low profile keycaps and they have not been comfortable. And you even said when you reviewed the previous one that you didn't feel it was as comfortable as like normal keycaps. Right. So I was a little bit worried, but it's still in front of me. Like I'm still using it. So I do like it. And I think one of the reasons is because it does look so good, but
yeah. I'm surprised since it's a full size, you know, keyboard, you know, you're so used to using those smaller form factor boards that I'm surprised you're still using it. But as long as it's, you know, comfortable and works well for you,
it also looks
amazing.
It is really comfortable. And for those who are like worried about the keycaps themselves, we'll go back to that second page here. So for those who are wondering, these do have a concave shape, so your fingers are going to sit sort of in the keycap. The only ones that don't is the bottom row. You can see those are kind of rounded. But in a lot of low profile keycaps, the ones that I reviewed, they were completely flat, which if you're gaming, there's no like a completely flat keycap, your finger is just going to slide off and you're going to hit multiple keys at once. This, you don't have that problem. But like Ryan said, this is a full size gaming keyboard. Now, Rocket does make a Vulcan 2 Mini, which is, I think it is 65%. It's a 65%, but it does not have the wrist rest. So you don't get the wrist rest with that one. But this one, this is awesome. So we have the white version, which has a sort of silver aluminum top plate, white keycaps, white kind of accents and all that stuff. And then the cabling is a gray with white on the end. So it looks like this keyboard is just a sexy, sexy, sexy looking keyboard. Beyond just your normal complement of keys with a full size, you do get that number pad, but you also have dedicated multimedia controls over here and a volume knob. And the volume knob you can click. You can click this in. So if you, you know, by default it's set to mute, but if you were, if you wanted to use the knob for other things, I know a lot of people do this with editing programs and certain things. You can make use of that knob to do different things if you want to do that. The keyboard does have 3 height adjustments, so it sits at just the slightest angle without any adjustments. And then there's just 1 and then 2. I have it set on the highest one, at least for me. That's kind of what I like. Now, it does have an attached cable. So you can't remove this cable. It is attached. You know, that is still kind of the norm when it comes to full size keyboards. Their 65% version of this keyboard has a detachable cable.
Interesting.
But full size. And you'll notice that it does have 2 USB connectors. That is because with all the RGB lighting, it actually needs more power. So this thick cable goes into 2 USB-A ports. So you need 2 USB ports to use this keyboard to its full extent. The wrist rest is actually quite comfortable. It's translucent. And like I said, it works great with this.
Is it like a rubber material?
Yeah, it's sort of like this rubber, but it's not super soft. It has some glide to it, I would say. But it's very comfortable. I do like it. And then as far as the switches, so we're getting Rocket's new Titan 2 switch. This is an optical mechanical switch. So it's designed like a mechanical switch, but it operates optical. And the easiest way to explain optical for those who are not sure what an optical switch is, there's a laser, laser beam. So let's say my finger's the laser beam. This is the switch stem. And when it crosses or cuts off the laser beam, that's when the switch is actuated. So with a normal mechanical switch, the stem goes down and it's a mechanical, you know, going like this, whereas it's going through the laser beam. It's more optical switches are more accurate and they can be faster and there's no debounce delay. So when a normal mechanical switch, when you know, go down like this, you have to wait till it pops back up, right? To do the next one. With a optical switch, you're just going through the laser beam. There's no reset per se. So again, more accurate. And like I said, no debounce delay on these. Now they have these available in linear or tactile switches. I have the linears, which are their reds. Of course, they mimic basically a Cherry MX Red. And actually the actuation force in a lot of it is almost the same as a Cherry MX Red as well. Now, the really cool thing about these switches is that they feature not 1, but 2 RGB LEDs inside. So that's how you get this awesome RGB display, which again, we'll go through. But the keyboard itself, just without the lights, is extremely comfortable. I really like it. We do have a sound test, which is on the last page of the review, if you guys want to hear how this sounds. But I actually, again, was very surprised at how comfortable this was. Now, the keycaps, you can see, they are a little spaced apart, but it didn't take me a long time to really get used to the keyboard or anything like that. All the keys through their software can be reprogrammed. They also have their Shift Plus function, which allows you to basically have 2 sets of controls for the same key if you hold in a button, all different kind of stuff. Their software's pretty good. But again, one of the main things you want to get this keyboard for is the RGB lighting. So these first 2 pictures here are just in normal daylight situations. So this is kind of sort of what I'm looking at right now. That's kind of what the keyboard's going to look like. But if you turn the lights out, I mean, this thing just looks awesome.
Now, are the lights in the wrist rest, are they integrated in the wrist rest, or are they like shining out from the keyboard?
They're shining out from the keyboard, which I'll actually show you. So as we go through these pictures, I have some of those. So you can see, again, sort of like the floating keycap design allows you to really see the entire switch and all the lighting. You can see a close-up shot here of just how good this all looks. I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and the I just remember, and you can tell on this these pictures as well, is like how crystal clear those Switch bodies are, right? It just, this keyboard just looks good just sitting there, even turned off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a really, really good looking keyboard. And, you know, with everybody doing the normal, you know, you will see low profile keycaps on a low profile Switch, but it's not often you see low profile keycap on a full size Switch. So there wasn't any stability issues either. Like a lot of people worry about with a low profile keycap, like stability on some of the keys. I didn't run into any of that as well. So
I think here's the box stems help with that.
Yeah. Here's what the keyboard looks like without the wrist rest. So you have the RGB lighting shining through there. You can see at the bottom. And then see, that's kind of what the bottom of the keyboard looks like right there. So it's, yeah, it looks really good.
And then does the wrist rest connect magnetically, or is it just kind of into that?
It just sort of pops in. So I'll make myself big again.
So I saw it kind of come off, when you held it.
Yeah, it will stay together. Like, see how it's kind of, you know, it's in there?
Yep.
But it's just these, like, locking kind of grooves.
Okay, cool.
They just lock, sort of. So if you don't have them in, like, it just will lock. And then
you can hear it snap.
Yeah, okay. So it's really not moving, which I like, you know what I mean? But yeah, I do like that the RGB lighting is not part of the wrist rest as far, like, you know, there's no lights in the wrist rest because, again, if you don't want to use the wrist rest, you still get that bottom lighting coming out of the, out of the keyboard if you're not using it. So I really like this. Like I said, it's extremely comfortable. As I said, the software allows you to reprogram everything, do all your lighting. You don't have to worry about trying to program something on the keyboard. Everything works really, really well with this keyboard. It is $179.99, which puts it on the higher end, but I think you're getting a lot of value here. One with the switches and two with the lighting. It just all goes together. So if you're looking for a full-size keyboard, this is one that I would definitely recommend. I really like it. And it's not often I like full-size keyboards anymore.
No.
To be honest, because I've gone to that, you know, I've gone to that smaller form factor when it comes to keyboards. But I actually really do like this keyboard. They've done a really good job. I would really like to see the 65% version in person to kind of see what that one looks like. But overall, I think this is a really, really good keyboard. Like I said, the only downside is that it does require two USB ports and that USB cable is not detachable. So it's always there. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Those are the only downsides.
Because you can't like customize it even more, right? With a custom.
Yeah. So I think this would look really cool with a custom coiled cable or something like that. So yeah. And then I do have one. I thought I had both of them, but I don't have both of them. But I do have the one sitting here because I was using it. So we've been reviewing flash drives over the past month. Taking a look at, Ryan took a look at a couple encrypted ones, which are actually super cool if you want to protect your data. I've been taking a look at ones that are decently fast. And this week I took a look at these right here. So these are the Kingston Data Traveler Max. And this is the USB type A version. So it has your normal USB type A connection. I have another one that's type C. They're pretty much identical beyond that, except for the colors. So the USB A one is, I guess you would call this burgundy, not actually red, but more of a
burgundy. Yeah.
Yeah. Something. And then the USB-C one is black. And these are really great. And then the fastest USB, not fastest USB drive, but fastest USB flash drive that I've ever reviewed. So speeds up to 1,000 megabytes a second.
Damn.
On this little thing that you can put on your keychain, which I think
Throw in your pocket, put it on a keychain.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing. So the amount of speed and convenience of having this, it's completely plug and play. Don't have to install anything. Don't need to carry a cable with you. It can, like I said, you can throw this in your pocket. I could put it in my, I'll get it in there. Put it in my hat. You know, I could just be like, hey, I got the game right here. Yeah. But yeah, it's incredibly awesome to have that much speed, you know. And for those wondering, like you could even make this a game drive. I mean, it's more than fast enough for transferring files, you know, to and from work. Perfect for that. Mm-hmm. You could even run this as an OS drive if you really wanted to, because again, 1,000 megabytes a second is fast.
Plenty fast.
you know, like I said, they are very simple. I do, for the amount of speed we're getting, I would have liked, like, the casing is pretty much plasticky. Yeah. I would have liked to seen just
like a nice aluminum or something, right? Aluminum or something.
Something. And then when you, so all the, you know, as you can see, the connection.
It's still exposed, though.
Yeah, it's exposed on the back. That's the issue. Yeah, so I don't know here it like is closed. Here it is closed, obviously, and you can see the connector just kind of goes through that. So typically, you know, a USB flash drive, when it's closed, it's to protect the connector, because the connector is the weakest link in the whole USB thing. I've had many USB drives that in USB devices that have died because of the USB connector. So you want to protect it, but it's not really protected because it's, you know. So that was the issue that I had. And the USB-C one's the same way. So here you can see, not really protected. USB-C one, again, there's a connection, not really protected. The speeds are pretty much identical. If you look at our tests, so here's the type A, and here's the type C. They're basically identical, getting like right around 1,000 megabytes a second, which again is extremely fast for a flash drive. I mean, it really, really is. We have more of our tests down here, but yeah, I mean, for what you're getting, I think these are awesome. If you're looking for the fastest possible speed in a flash drive, this is the drive. So we reviewed the 1 terabyte version, sells for about $96. And then there's a 512 gigabyte and a 256 gigabyte. So whatever kind of size you need, they basically have you guys covered there. So I really like this. Like I said, it would have been nice to have, like, you know, like Ryan said, like brushed aluminum or something a little more heavy duty. But obviously that affects price too, you know. Yep. You use higher end materials.
I still think though, for a terabyte for under $100, like, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Yeah, Kingston has been pretty aggressive with a lot of their storage products as far as pricing goes. So, like I said, I like this. The only thing, you know, say you have a laptop that's type C, and a lot of new laptops don't have type A. There's no adapter that ships with this either. So if you're moving from a friend's computer, like, oh yeah, like bring it over, you know, and they have a new laptop that doesn't have a type A, you don't have the adapter either. But yeah, again, get the version that is the connector that you're mostly going to use, I would say. But definitely stay tuned, because we have 2 extras of these that we're going to be giving away. So nice. Another new giveaway that will be announced. I don't know when we're announcing it. I haven't really decided, but we'll be announcing it soon enough. And they will be 1 terabyte versions too. So we're giving away a type A and a type C. Cool. Of that. So definitely stay tuned for that there as well. We'll move to Case Mod Friday. And I have to say, if you're a woman, get yourself a man like Sneff Computer Design, because he built his wife this amazing computer, and it's awesome.
Instead of get yourself a man that looks at you like whatever, right? Like, get yourself a man that builds you a computer like Sneff.
Yeah. So he's over the past, I would say, couple years or maybe year and a half, he's been kind of experimenting with these custom built chassis that he's been doing. And we've featured 3 of them. This would be the 4th one, which are, you know, have the built in water cooling and everything. And this one he did for his wife. Yeah, that's just awesome. The channeling, instead of normal tubing, you know, you have the hard tubing here, but then he made the channeling, which I think is super cool. Obviously, you have the res over here and all of that. I didn't even notice this little bear here.
I saw it in the reflection first, to be honest.
Yeah.
On the distro plate there, or the res on the back.
The white ROG board with white Corsair Dominator memory. I don't know.
Screen on the front.
Yeah, screen on the front. I'm not sure
which Vandal graphics switch. Card. Yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah. Sort of white and purple themed. Has the
candle lighting at the inside. Top. Yeah. Oh, this is just awesome.
Like I said, he needs to sell this as like a kit. You know what I mean? Right. Yep. With like, and we've talked about this with his other builds, not specifically this one, but like you could sell a kit with everything, you just put it together. Like that's water cooling that Bob could do, is, you know, everything, yeah. Just all the bends are done for you. You just connect the pipes. That's a Bob build for sure. But yeah, he's done a really, really great job on this. You know, here's a close up. You can see he's, like I said, using.
I love those 90 degree fittings too.
Yeah. There's the back with the radiator and all of that. Screen on the front.
Yeah. Looks so nice. Yeah, this is cool.
Yeah, just awesome, awesome build from him. And I assume his wife's happy, right?
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah, we would hope his wife's happy.
Would anybody be happy to have this?
Yeah, for sure. And it's definitely, like I said, this is the new ROG board, so I assume it's a pretty beefy system there as well for her to do whatever she plans on doing with it. So,
and like the lighting and the clear sections between.
Yeah, so it's hard to see, but there is lighting inside of all of this, because this is all, I assume this is acrylic, mm-hmm. All through here, and there is lighting built into it, which is super cool. But yeah, just an awesome, awesome build overall, I think. So definitely, like I said, check. He has a ton of, we link his Facebook here. So go to his Facebook. He has a ton of builds all of the time. Really cool stuff. Oh, was it him? I think it's him. Let's go to his Facebook. I believe. Yeah, he's working. What do you think this is?
Oh boy, I wonder. Noctua, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's working on a really cool all air, and for him it's different because it's an all air build.
You know, it's gonna have that like 4080 Noctua, right?
Yeah, it's gonna be really cool. So he's working on some cool stuff there as well. So yeah, definitely shout out to him. We always feature his builds because they are that good. If you guys are interested in Case Mod Friday builds, you can see them on the site here. You just go to articles and then Case Mod Friday, and we have a ton. 55 pages. So you can scroll through this for hours if you really wanted to, but they're all there. You can go ahead and check those out. Also, a reminder, we are giving away a laptop. So we're giving away the Lenovo Slim 7i Carbon. This giveaway has been going on for a while. We got to get to 20,000. We're at 18,000. Come on, guys.
Oh, yeah, we'll get there.
We have
15 days.
15 days. So we're halfway through. Absolutely. We're going to run this for a month. But we got to get to 20,000, you know. So let's get these entries into 20,000. We do all of our giveaways through Gleam. I'm sure you guys know about that. 12 different ways to enter. So you can get 12 entries, actually more than that, because some of these are worth more. Like if you subscribe to our Twitch, you get 5 secret phrase, which if you watch the video here, it will tell you all about the secret phrase. With secret phrase in there, subscribe to the podcast, all that kind of stuff. Get your entry in. This is one of the most exciting giveaways that we've done because it's definitely going to help somebody out. Whether you're a student, you need a new laptop for work, or you just, you know, need a new laptop so you can sit on the couch and watch some Netflix. You can, like I said, this laptop will definitely do it. So go ahead and get your entry in. The link is in our show notes. Or like I said, you're on the website, just go to contests and it's the first one right there. It will be followed up by, like I said, the flash drives that we have here that are going to be given away as well. So get your entry in on that and we will move to news. So I have said on this podcast multiple times that I just want to know when I want to have a full kind of rundown of the RTX 40 series. I want to know when they're coming out, kind of what to expect. And it seems like this is going to be the spring summer of NVIDIA launches.
Yep.
You know, so the RTX 4070, the Ti is already out. The 4070 is going to launch next month in April from what we've heard. So that's going to launch in April. And then there's going to be a 4060 Ti, which again, NVIDIA is skipping the way that they normally do things. Right. 4060 Ti and 4060 in May. So it's two launches in May, right? And they're supposed to be right before Computex. So you would assume one at the beginning of the month, one at the end, closer to the end of the month. Yeah. And then an RTX 4050 in June. Okay. So here's the question that I have for you. Do you think for the RTX 40, like the RTX cards, do you think 4050 is the cutoff? Like, is that going to be it?
To me, it would make sense because you've got so you're going to have what, a 4050, a 60, a 60 Ti, a 70, a 70 Ti, an 80, and a 90.
Yeah.
Right.
And you would assume
because so that's seven is, and then maybe an 80 Ti and a 90 Ti. So that's nine cards right there.
Yeah.
That's so many price points, so many performance levels and configurations, right? Well,
again, the way that we normally did things.
Sure. You'd have like five and then another five.
Yeah. You would have a refresh, which would be the Ti cards.
Right.
And I assume we'll get the refresh on the 4080 and 4090 down the line.
Right.
Maybe holiday season time, I would think.
Yeah.
Right? But for right now, I think, and we will talk about specs on the 4050 because we have some, and we'll get your thoughts on that. But I think that will be the lowest.
The bottom. Yeah.
Yeah, I would hate
a GTX series, right? Like we've seen in the past. I don't think we're going to end up with any of that.
Yeah. Or like, because, it just wouldn't make sense. I don't think. But for the 4060 Ti, the box art, which we assume looks like all the other ones, it has actually been like officially leaked. You know, it's going to look like this. So there is going to be a 4060 Ti. And then it has these list of features. No specific specifications yet. But there are some interesting things. DLSS3, so they're not going to be cutting off, certain things. PCIe Gen 4, all that kind of stuff. But no, you know, no six like no specs, no VRAM specs on this or anything like that yet. So that was kind of leaked today. So we know this card is coming because what happens is NVIDIA sends this out to the manufacturer. The manufacturer kind of makes their own box with their picture of their card and their other features kind of on here. So from what we know, this is actually official. So there will be another Ti card, which I assume is launching before the actual 4060.
Yeah.
4060. Down to the 4060i rumored clock speeds, 2310 megahertz for the base and 2535 megahertz for the boost clock. So those are the leaked clocks. Don't know if this is all kind of rumors right now, but those are the suspected clocks. And then they also say that premium AIB cards will be able to boost up to 2,685. So
okay.
That is the suspected clock speeds of the 4060 Ti. Also, as far as specifications on the 4060 and 4060 Ti, they are both expected to be based on the AD106. That fully fledged chip has 36 streaming multiprocessors. The 4060 Ti is expected to have 32 of those enabled. That's going to give you 4,352 CUDA cores, 128 Tensor cores, 32 RT cores, 128 TMUs, and 48 ROPs. And then the 4060, the non-TI version, could be cut down even further, although I have seen some stuff on Twitter that people are saying that it is actually going to be the AD107, the full-fledged AD107, but we can't confirm that. Both the 4060 Ti and 4060 are expected to have 8 gigabytes of GDDR6 memory across a 128-bit memory interface. Expected power to be around 200 watts, TDP on these cards. So they will likely, and we've talked about this, they will likely not have the 16 pin. They will have the older PCI Express power connectors, which some people may rejoice to.
Yeah, I mean, keeps you from having to, you know, either use an adapter or upgrade to a newer power supply. So saving some money there, or not having to deal with the hassle of an adapter. So,
yeah. And then cool. for the 4050, this is going to be, I would say, the again, I'm guessing that this is going to be the cutoff, right? Or the the bottom of the series, but we don't know. But yeah, so this is expected to launch in June, right? Yeah, June. Again, based off that AD107, again, it will be a cut down version of the AD107. Now, the interesting thing that we do know about the AD107 from NVIDIA is that it does have a 128-bit memory interface, but rumors are that NVIDIA is going to cut this down to 96, and the card's only going to have 6 gigabytes of GDDR6 memory. The interesting thing, the really interesting thing about that is that the current RTX 3050 that it would effectively be replacing has 8 gigabytes of GDDR6 across a 128-bit interface.
I know. It's like a punch in the stomach. You know what I mean? Like, unless they're... I don't know. I mean, you know, they could be just targeting that 1080p...
The thing is, with the new chips, this card could be faster, even with less memory and a less wide bus. It's
right. Still they've made enough improvements faster. That like it's going to be an improvement, and they may have, you know, in their internal testing and, you know, engineering said, hey, like we can get away with only putting 6 on this and not having to bump it up to 8 and getting better performance out of, you know, the card than they were out of a 3050 or similar. So, you know, that could be their reasoning for that. You always hate to see a spec go down though in a newer generation.
And like as we have, you know, 4090s with 24 gigabytes of VRAM.
Right.
And you know cards with 16 gigabytes of VRAM, and as that number continually goes up, you see a card launching in 2020
goes down
with 6. And again, when the previous card that is effectively replacing had 8.
Yeah.
So we'll see on these.
On wider bus as well. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do like, now that we sort of have an idea, and that, again, I think that the 4050 will be the bottom of the barrel, especially because it's only going to have 6 gigabytes. You know, you can't put out another card that what it has 4. Like,
oh god,
you know, not. You know, you're not gonna go down even further on that. So I think that would be the, you know, and like we would expect to have a refresh of the higher end cards getting at least a 4090 Ti, and we would expect a 4080 Ti probably, right, like I said, holiday season time. So
But then it's like, so if that were to be the case and those come out holiday season, like now you're just like, that's all that you've got until 50 series, most likely, right? Like they've pushed everything out what we would expect to see, right? Unless they're going to do a super series like a year into this or a little more.
Yeah, right? We don't really know kind of what.
Right, we don't know. It's just, I know. Take me back to the good old days where I got the normal card and then I got the Ti.
Well, that's the thing, is I think that kind of messed them up, right? You know, launching supposedly, you know, again, we've talked about this at length, but just to really quickly, you know, we were supposed to have 2 4080s, a 16 gig and a
12.
What was it? 12. And then, but people were like, it's not the same card because it's based off a different GPU. So that RTX 4080 12 gig turned into the RTX 4070 Ti. Now, the problem with that is that typically, again, NVIDIA comes out with 4090, 4080, 4070, 4060, 4050. And then a year later, you get a refresh, which is higher clock speeds, some better specs, and those would all be the Ti cards. Now that it seems, again, the 4070 Ti is not a one-off, because we're going to get a 4060 Ti from everything that we know. We're going to get a Ti first. So it's just like, are we actually launching, what did you say, 9 SKUs within $50 of each other?
Well, yeah, seven, unless, you know, we get TIs of the 80 and 90. But yeah, yes, it's great. That's nuts.
Yeah, 7 when we would normally get, what, 4?
You get like a 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, so 5.
Yeah, so it's just, it is confusing, and it's... For, I just feel bad for like the new, somebody who's new coming into this, who. That's
the thing. My buddy reached out to me and was like, hey, I just tried playing like the Hogwarts game or whatever. And he's like, I had to turn everything down. And he's got like a i5 50 or 6500 and a GTX 970. And so he was like, put me a list together and take a look. And I was like, man, so. Like, what are you really wanting to do with this? Because, yeah, you could buy last generation's card to, you know, because you don't. But at the same time, you could move to the newer platform, either AMD or Intel, right? And then build it for the future, because he's obviously had that previous machine for multiple years, and it's served him well to this point. So when it came down to like trying to figure out what graphics card to go with, I was like, man, I don't know if I can justify telling you to go with a 30 series. So I kind of I was like, hey, just here's a build with a 4070 Ti. But then I, you know, we've got these 60s coming out, the 60 Ti. I'm like, how long can you wait? Because the price difference between this 4070 Ti and what's going to come out in, you know, 3 or 4 more months might be a significant amount. Yeah. And if you can hold off, you know, I don't know. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting times.
Yeah, it's just like I said, for the consumer, I think that's the tough thing, right?
Right.
All of these cards, not that they're jumbled together, but there's not a definitive answer, right? There's not like, okay, oh, obviously, like if you're maxing out 4K, you want a 4090, or like even the 4080 kind of covers that too. So it's just like, you know, we had for specific resolution, we're like, this is a card, this is a card, this is a card. Now there's like in betweens, and it's harder for the consumer. That's all I'll say about it.
And also harder for the consumer is, and he was, you know, he hasn't built a machine in a while, and he's like, well, you know, because this next generation of cards is coming out, so the older generation is gonna, you know, there'll be discounts and they'll go down in price. So I was like, whoa, that doesn't happen anymore, man. Like, it used to, but no, those cards don't really go down. They just keep selling at a pretty normal level, and well, that's available anymore.
That's the thing, is that the old generation, the 30 series, is still, they're great. I mean, I'm running a 3090. Yeah. You know, they're still great cards for a lot of people, especially if you're not running super high resolution or super high frame rate. The new cards are amazing, but a lot of people don't, especially when it comes to the high-end cards, the 4090, 4080, like a lot of people don't necessarily need that much power. And the sad part is, like I said, those older generation
they're holding their price, right? And I was pricing, you know, 3080s, 3070s out, and I was like, man, the price difference between these, let's just go with the new stuff.
Yeah. So that is what we have on the 40 series, guys. Obviously, when we hear more, we will definitely let you know. We will be reviewing some graphics cards coming up, so stay tuned for that stuff on the website as well. Moving on to CPUs. So somebody tested the upcoming Ryzen 7 7800 X3D that's coming out next month. It is 37% faster than the chip that next Ryan week has.
Even.
Yeah, the 5800 X3D.
Yeah, I know. I saw this and was just like,
Yeah. And this is just Sandra. So this is Sci Software Sandra benchmark. Obviously, I think the biggest thing is for a lot of people, if they were deciding to go from a 5800 X3D to a 7800 X3D, the gaming is what you really want to look at. And when these reviews come out, that's really what you're going to want to look at is, okay, in my specific title, the game, like I said, we always talk, we play Apex Legends. So in Apex Legends, what difference? Is it 10%? Is it 7%? I think if it's 7%, it's not really worth getting a completely new chip. But if it's 30%, then that's a big deal. And I think that's
the thing is new chip. It's not just new chip. It's new chip, new motherboard, right? So you've got those two, you know, those additional costs along.
So that's something to think about. But like I said, I think AMD's doing a really good job with these. You know, not just getting that little increment faster. They're doing a lot. So this comes out, like Ryan said, next week. So definitely stay tuned for all those reviews that are going to be coming out. And we'll probably be talking about it next week here on the podcast too. So moving on from that, we have been talking about, you know, AM5 motherboards are very expensive. They're even the lower end chipsets are still decently expensive. We have seen some that are around that $125 mark, but it's few and far between. But it looks like the A620 chipset will not have PCI Express 5.0, and that's going to save a lot of people some money. If you're really not going to make use of it, you're not going to make use of it on storage, you're not going to make use of it on your graphics card, obviously. Now, this BIOS that somebody found for this is old. Like, it's older. It's from last year. But it is showing that you're not getting any Gen 5, which I'm actually a fan of for a lower-end chipset. Because, I mean, Gen 4 storage is plenty fast.
Still fast.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're getting some fast Gen 4 storage, but you can rock a newer 7000, Ryzen 7000 series chip and be kind of future-proofing yourself for those next generations, I think that's good. But we don't know. AMD hasn't said anything once this was discovered. Asus hasn't said anything on the A620. But we'll keep you guys updated. But that's a way to get the prices of the motherboards less expensive. You know, that's the biggest thing holding a lot of people back from the new AM5 motherboards is their cost. Because especially if you're on X670, X670E, those boards are expensive. So definitely something to keep in mind, and we'll keep you guys updated if we find some more information on that. Fantex finally released officially their NV7 case. We actually got to see this in person at CES. For me, it was the best case that I saw at CES.
Yep.
Massive case, has that open design with the front panel being tempered glass and the side panel being tempered glass. These are just, I mean, these are amazing cases available in black and white.
Interesting, like, options for it, right? You can, that bottom fan mount, you can have flat or at an angle to kind of match the angled bottom, you know, angle you see on the front of the case there. You can switch around the motherboard tray to support different sizes, and that kind of changes some of the lighting up. You've got this awesome, like, power cable routing in the back, a cool back door to the case. Like, there's so many awesome features on this case. You can move around the I/O ports or the little
and it's
USB
big.
And it's enormous. Like, you can see the motherboard there is, like, taking up, what, like, a third of the interior.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that we don't, you know, as I have a very small system sitting beside me, you know, but we don't see a whole lot of these really, really big cases anymore. Right. And, you know, these massively big cases, as you can see, they really are made for water cooling. And it's good to see a big case come out again. You know, lots of room for water cooling, lots of room for fans, so many options. So check these out. These are available now from Fantex. I would go with the white.
I don't know. I don't know what I'd go with. I feel like I almost wish that this case would have been a little shorter, but I do like that it supports two 120s in the back, right? They're not showing it off really, but you can, it supports them.
Yeah, it would be
right. They've got the distro plate there, but yeah, just a lot of cool features of this case. Because the case looks a little bit odd above the motherboard, right? You've just got, especially on that front one there with the custom water cooling loop, it's just like you've got this one run going up to that top radiator, but there's really
isn't that where your power supply? Yeah,
power it supply is. It is. But it just ends up looking bare in the case.
Yeah.
Unless you put something there, right?
It would be interesting to see if they make a smaller version.
Right.
We have seen that from a lot of companies come out with a smaller version. So yeah, we'll see on that. But I this is a really, really excellent case. There are a bunch of reviews out if you guys want to check them out, and some awesome YouTube videos. But yeah, this is a really, really great case overall. So I'm excited for Fantex for that one, because it's I did like their Shift XL, or those, what were those called? The Shift cases.
Is that the one that I don't remember which one that is.
But in any case, it's nice to see them come back to like a more traditional form factor and have a really, really awesome looking case. And like taking cues from obviously like the O11 Dynamics and stuff, but like making it their own thing, right? Because we've seen basically everybody copy the O11 Dynamic. And most of them are, I wouldn't call them clones, but they didn't make them their own, right? Fantex really made this whole design their own, and that's something I really like about it. So yeah, we'll see if we can get one of those in to review. Corsair announced a new gaming monitor, and this one's pretty sweet. So this is their Xenon 27Q HD 240. As you, by the product name, 27-inch QHD, so 1440p, 240 hertz, and it's an OLED.
Whew. And it costs a lot.
Let's see. Let's go to the product.
I don't know how much it is.
So it's coming soon. We don't
know. Coming soon. Yeah, we don't know.
The one thing
it's
I really like
about it. It's not going to
be cheap. Yeah, it's not going to be cheap. The one thing I like about it is that you get the USB hub on it.
Yes.
So you have your USB in, and then you get four type A's, which is awesome, because that's going to be your headset. That's going to be your either your mouse, your key. Like, you can connect all your stuff. That could be like your webcam. Yeah. It could be everything that you can just plug into the monitor. Yeah, central location.
We've been doing that at work with this Dell hub monitor that actually also has Ethernet in it, right? So we don't use docks or in anything. Like, it's so much nicer now.
Nice. But yeah, I really like that about
I like the ports that are on the back. A lot of times you'll have them like on the back, but they're on the bottom, and like you're trying to get under there and like figure out which one it is.
My monitor here, I like never disconnect it, but yeah, they're under there. Like, they're just smart. Like, this is so smart. It makes it so they're not hard to get to, easy to take out.
I end up with my phone, like, use the selfie camera, lay the phone down on the desk so I can like see where I'm looking, and
you have your monitor on an arm or something. Yeah, it's a pain. Yeah, so yeah, I like this design from Corsair for sure. So check this one out. Like I said, it's gonna be expensive, but OLEDs, man, we're getting a lot more in the market, which I think is a very good thing. So the last announcement is about Steam. Ryan, you're finally going to have to upgrade your computer from Windows 7. Steam is going to be dropping support for Windows 7 and Windows 8 starting in January of 2024. I really like how they give this like announcement. Like, they give you a lot of time. Yeah. They're not like, oh, it's next month. They're like, you know, you have till January 2024. I can't imagine somebody's still running 7 or 8.
Oh, they're out there. Believe me. I encountered someone 2 weeks ago. What OS do you think they were running?
Vista.
They were running Vista.
Oh.
And I went to try and run Windows updates on it just to see. And I think it had like last run updates in like 2020.
Yeah.
I was like, and you put this thing on the internet? But anyhow, people are out there.
Yeah, so if you do, for some reason, if you are running Windows 7 or 8 and you use Steam, be time to upgrade. And you're way past your free upgrade at this point, too.
Oh, yeah.
So you will have to buy it. But yeah, that is it for our news this week, right? Yeah, that is it for the news.
Yep, that's it.
What we have coming up next week, Ryan will have his review of a mouse that he's been using and really, really liking. The HyperX PulseFire Haste 2. It's right there. He has a wireless version. He's a big fan. So we'll see that next week. And then I'll be taking a look at a case from Inwin. It is their A5. So you remember the Inwin A1 that I reviewed, that little, the little mini ITX. The one that has the wood top. So that was their A line, and that was the only case they had in that series for a very long time. But this past year, they came out with an A3, which is micro ATX, and then an A5, which actually fits ATX and extended ATX, all kind of like the same kind of sleek kind of design look and everything like that. Very interesting airflow design. They actually have a thing that shows like air comes out the bottom. So there's no fans or anything on the front. All the air comes out the bottom and goes out through the top. And then your power supply actually sits in the front of the case, which is really weird. But yeah, we'll see how this one does. They actually sent us this exact setup. Well, they didn't send us the 4090 that's in here, but they sent us their 240mm AIO, okay, as well as more of their RGB fans. So we'll have a full kind of system. Cool. That looks sort of identical to this, minus the 4090 that's in here. Actually, I think that's a 3090, actually. But in any case, but yeah, we'll have this case. It's pretty interesting design. It's very sleek and nice. So
I like the black and gold. Which one did they send you?
The black.
Isn't the white? Yeah, I like that gold highlight.
Yeah, the gold trim at the top right here.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm not on the screen anymore.
No, you're not. There you go.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there. I just think it looks better on the black version than the white.
Yeah, but yeah. But yeah, we will have that for you next week, as well as maybe some other stuff. Like I always say, it just depends on what I get done throughout the week. As we come to the end here, we talk about some cool stuff.
I got free games.
Okay.
Epic Game Store. If you're a chess fan, they have Chess Ultra is free until March 30th at 10 a.m., which is tomorrow. There's World Warship Starter Pack. Same thing. Free till 10 a.m. tomorrow. Then coming soon is Silent Age and Tunche. I don't know.
Anyhow,
go look.
Yeah, those are the free games.
Those are the free games.
Sony came out with a new camera that I was looking at. I didn't even know it came out, and then I saw a bunch of my like people I follow on YouTube. Sony ZV-E10. Is that it? This isn't it.
Is this like a realistic upgrade for you?
Yeah, this can't be the one, because this is only $700. Hold on.
Is another mirror? They only do mirrorless, don't they?
The full frame.
Okay.
Oh, it's ZV. Wait, is this it? Yeah, Sony ZV-E1. Wait, is this only $800? Because that's
not a bad you're one. Like, I'm ordering one tomorrow.
No, that's okay. So that was a ZV-E10. That's the one that's $800. Sony ZV-E1. I'll just bring up Engadgets. So it's full frame camera. It has the same sensor, the same internals as like their FX3 and their A7S3, which are like some of their best cameras. But it's small, it's compact, and it has some really like it. I've been wanting to upgrade this, which is my Sony A6300. Is that what this is? Yeah, A6300. But the problem with these, and this is made specifically for video, and the thing I really really liked about this,
what is made specifically? Oh, the A.
So yeah, so there's no viewfinder like that you look through. So yeah. I do enjoy photography, and this camera is really only. I mean, you know, you could look at the screen and take a picture, but it's not the same as looking through the viewfinder. So the A series, so like there's an A6300, 6400, 6500, 6600, I think. I want them, I like this camera. I like all the features. It has everything that I would want. Better autofocus than this current camera. A lot of the video features that this camera doesn't have, all the things, the flip screen, this doesn't have a flip screen. It has this stupid thing that only goes out like this. It doesn't go to the side. So yeah, all these things I can't pull the trigger on this because it's not what I want. Like and I don't know if Sony is ever going to make cameras like this again, because they've really focused on a camera for photo and a camera for video, not the in between.
So, okay, for a dummy like me, tell me why does 12 megapixel sound so low?
It does. It's
because I looked up my, you know, the M50 and it's a 24 megapixel camera. Like why does it seem low? And you like you hear about a phone that's like 50 megapixel, right?
Yeah.
Like, why does 12 seem so low? Is it just because it's only doing video? It doesn't need to be that high?
I assume so. I'm not the expert when it comes to that specifically, but I assume that's why. So like the new Sony A7 IV is 48 or something crazy. But that's a camera made for shooting photos.
Right.
Yeah. But like I said, this has everything.
Will your lenses work on this?
They will, but they'll be cropped in because this is full frame and this is mirrorless. So that's the difference. But I don't think I'm going to get this. I want Sony to upgrade this line. So this line hasn't really been upgraded in like 4 years, 3 years. So, and the thing, so these Sony, these ZV, like the camera that I'm recording this podcast on is the Sony ZV-1. It is sort of like their entry level
blogging camera.
And like this is their entry level full frame camera, right? This is heavy. It's big and it has a weatherproof seal on it that these don't have. It's just like a better, for me, it's like a better all around camera. So I'm going to wait. I'm, you know, kind of disappointed, but it is a new camera that I've watched like 5 videos on so far today. So for the tech thing for me that I was been excited about is definitely this. Oh, and I think same day, I think today as well, because I was looking at camera stuff on YouTube, Insta360 came out with a gimbal for a phone. And we've been talking about for CES next year going, doing all phone. And this gimbal is really, really cool. I forget what it's called though.
The Flow?
I don't know what it's called.
Insta360 Flow? I think that's what it is.
I'm sure it's like the first thing on their website because it was just announced.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, I can't go to Google now.
I'm sure that's what it is. Because
well, my internet broke, guys. Internet's broke. Oh man.
What's that? You're breaking up. I can't.
Have you done anything tech related this week?
Just at work.
That is so weird that my internet.
Here, do you want me to share mine? I got it.
Yeah, go ahead, share it.
Screen. How about where's that? There we go. Is it that one?
That is the one. Yeah, I watched a video on that today. Flow? Yeah.
Okay.
Very cool. There's a lot of.
I mean, it like folds up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's super small. And the cool thing about it is the biggest thing with any gimbal is even cell phone gimbals is like you got to put your phone in there. Like even I wish I had it because I have like a camera or a phone.
Look at that. Look how it just snaps on.
Yeah. Come so here. you attach to your phone like this magnet. Very cool. And it just goes right on. It's really cool. I think I'm going to get it for when we do CES. Okay. Yeah, so a lot of cool camera stuff coming out, nice. Which is pretty cool. So yeah, that is it for tech stuff. Like I said, did you do anything tech related this week?
No, I don't think so. Recorded some video today before the podcast. Use my new lapel mic that I've been testing out. I got the settings correct. Like
there you go.
Because I had a video that was doing left and right, which I found odd that let me just pull it out, that this little mic records in stereo.
Yeah.
Does. Right. Why it would even have a left and right channel because it's in one spot. Like to me, it doesn't make sense for this to have a left and right channel.
Well, you have two of them.
I gotcha. Never mind. Forget I said anything. We'll edit this out. We'll edit this out.
That's all right, Ryan. Ryan, it's so funny because sometimes Ryan just has these brain farts and we like to call him out on that. But nobody's talking in the chat, so we don't have any questions. We don't have anything else to talk about tech related. Like I said, guys, we have some stuff coming up next week. Graphics cards. I've been testing a lot of graphics cards, so we'll have that stuff coming up very soon for you guys there, and a bunch of videos, a bunch of stuff coming out. We're going to jump over to Twitch. We're going to be playing some games, playing some Apex Legends. So if you guys want to keep on hanging out, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers, we will be over there playing some pretty mediocre Apex Legends. But who knows, this keyboard, you know, this awesome keyboard just might make me better.
Might level you up, man.
Yeah, so we shall see. So we're going to be over there, but we appreciate everybody coming out, everybody who was in the live stream, and of course, everybody that listens later. So we'll see you guys next week.